The UN General Assembly will convene in New York between September 18 to September 22. This is one of Prime Minister Netanyahu's favorite stages to gain media coverage and tell his messages, mostly to his base in Israel. But this year may be different, when so far there are no signs that President Biden will meet with him, when his cabinet members are being rejected by Jewish communities and foreign ministers due to what they resemble. Things look bad for the Israeli government with everything that involves the international community, even though they don't seem to care. Otherwise, they would have taken the judicial coup attempts off the table. The rallies against the judicial coup in Israel did not stay within Israel's border. Under the name of Unacceptable, thousands of Israelis gathered and formed a grassroots movement that is supporting Israel's democracy and protesting against the judicial coup from abroad, with more than, almost, I would say, 40 to 50 locations worldwide. Ofir Gutelson, who is a dear friend of mine and the founder of Unacceptable, joined me to speak about what they are expecting to get, the distinction between supporting the state of Israel and opposing its policies, and also to encourage you, our listeners, our brothers and sisters in the Jewish tribe, to join and make a statement against what is happening in Israel.
Hello, Ofir, and welcome to Balagan.
Yalla Balagan, thank you for having me.
My pleasure, my friend. Let's start with a short introduction. Tell us a little bit about yourself.
My name is Ofir Gutelson. I live right now in Palo Alto, California, with my wife and two boys. I was born and raised in Kiryat Motzki in Israel and moved to the United States after selling my first startup to Getty Images on 2011. I first moved to Manhattan, lived in Battery Park, and then in 2014 moved with my second startup to Palo Alto.
And you said your wife and two kids, so they were, as we say, made in Israel?
Yeah, they were born in Israel. We moved here when they were 5 and 1.5.
So now you live in Palo Alto, and you're not just the average Israeli high-tech guy, because you do something that I can't call it, it's your full-time job, but you do it unpaid. So it's like voluntarily. And that is leading, I know that you don't like that I'm saying that, but leading, I would say, the Israeli democracy movement in the US, which is called Unacceptable.
Yeah, I mean, so I think it's actually very similar to entrepreneurship. I mean, you start something unpaid, and you have a passion for something that you're doing, and suddenly it maybe becomes something bigger than what you expected. So in this way, some friends calling me an entrepreneur, an activist entrepreneur. And regarding the question about if it's something that I'm doing, I don't know. I mean, I don't know what it's going to look like in the future, but it's definitely exciting. Again, in the entrepreneur, I mean, for those of you who are entrepreneurs or in the high tech, you would understand the definition of there is a great engagement and retention, but it's the lifetime value is still debatable. So that's what's happening here.
So what is Unacceptable?
So Unacceptable is a grassroots movement that is actually started back in 2020 of led by Israeli Americans, Israeli expats here in the Bay Area, standing in solidarity with what was back then the Balfour protest that was first to identify, actually it wasn't the first, it was actually a Petah Tikva protest before. To identify the risk.
What's called Goren Square.
Goren Square, yes. That of really passionate Israelis who figured out that an indicted prime minister, and if it sounds too familiar with a potentially indicted president, it's a great risk to democracy. And we followed up and started solidarity back in the time where the government that was back then was led by Netanyahu and Gantz, decided that it's too risky to go and protest in Balfour, obviously debatable if they have the reason to say that or not. And people kind of moved to protest 1 kilometer from their house or 100 meters from their house in intersections and in bridges over the highways. And we decided that there is actually a nice bridge here, the Golden Gate Bridge, that actually led us to do some solidarity protest. Just back to the point where you mentioned before, Unacceptable is now in over 35 locations in North America. Also expanding to South America, Argentina had a protest, Mexico, which is actually, by the way, I learned that it's also North America, Brazil is also protesting. And again, I mean, in Australia and Japan, we also have another group that is leading the protest mostly in Europe, defending Israeli democracy. So yeah, it's becoming global movement of grassroots movement of liberal Israelis led by, but joined by many, many Jewish Americans and Jewish around the world.
But technically it started with one motive and now actually it's changing in a way, because at the beginning you were protesting against an indicted prime minister. And now the movement actually grew large because of a different topic, which is the current coalition in Israel. And the motives of people are actually a bit changed now.
I would say that, I mean, our tagline from day one was unacceptable, saving Israeli democracy. It was not specifically against the indicted prime minister. I mean, the reason is the part on about saving Israeli democracy was because Netanyahu was indicted and because we saw the risk. However, I mean, like, we put unacceptable to what we called storage when the Bennett and Lapid government was formed. And then in December, end of December, this last year, beginning January, when we saw the coalition agreement being formed, we actually started a petition to wake up the community in regard to what we have seen, Israel changing its identity from a liberal democracy to a messianic theocracy.
How are you guys working? I mean, how does the system work? So, you do almost a weekly protest, right? Just like in Israel. But you also have other initiatives. Can you tell us a little more about it?
First of all, I think we said it's a grassroots movement. So it's not top down, it's bottom up. So there are communities that are setting up their own. So we are organized like most of Israelis on the WhatsApp groups. We have an organizer group. Each group has its own other WhatsApp or mailing list. There are groups that are part of a more liberal community, groups that are part of more moderate slash right wing communities. But in each one of those cities, we have a consistency of at least once a week or twice a month of protests. But other than that, I mean, like, we are now reaching out, and a lot of Jewish communities are reaching out to us to basically become like the ambassadors of what everyone now understands is a risk, an existential risk to Israel. And we are there to talk through it and work out what we hope we can do to bring more Jewish Americans and more Jewish around the world to understand this existential crisis. On top of that, we are writing letters. Our two main objective was to stand in solidarity with Israelis, to give a stage to those who were most of their years grown up to understand in, here, at least in North America, that you always need to stand with Israel. It's very hard to criticize Israel unless you want to be considered a traitor. So I think that by us standing out there and showing example and inviting Jewish Americans to join, this was our second motivation, is kind of like giving a stage and giving a voice. And during the process of setting those protests, I mean, like, we started and getting like over 30 communities just in the US, we understood that we have also the ability to also mobilize people to do more stuff. So writing a letter to the Jewish, to the Conference of the Presidents, or writing letters to the North America General Assembly of the Federation, Jewish Federation of North America, or writing the letters to congressmen who are now, I mean, we're endorsing and helping to get more congressmen to co-sponsor Resolution 61 that was led by Representative Jen Schakowsky. And we can talk more about that later. We are doing a lot of things. Everything done by volunteers who are really, really passionate to save Israeli democracy. But over the time, and there was a lot of questions, and I think it was coming up also in the protest in Israel, like, what does it mean to save Israeli democracy? Is it like going back to where we were January 2023? Or is it more than that? And it is more than that. We do understand, and I think Lincoln said that, I mean, you always need to work to make a more perfect union. So again, democracy has its flaws. It's not perfect. It never was perfect. And we are now understanding that it's not enough to just save Israeli democracy, but we need to make it a better democracy. So that's another thing that we are starting to look at.
When you're talking about American Jewry, I will say two things. First thing, it's not that natural that you have Israelis or Israeli Americans and American Jews to work together. It's a first. And a second thing that I wanted to point at is that usually to some Americans, it will, the average American who doesn't know much may come and say, hey, listen, you're literally protesting against the state of Israel because you're protesting against the government. So I want you to touch those two points. First thing, How do community leaders, lay leaders from the Jewish American communities react when you talk to them, when you were reaching out? And the second thing, did anybody ever told you, hey, listen, this is wrong because you are literally, as we say in Hebrew, מחפשים את הכביסה בחוץ, you're laundering, you're doing the dirty laundry in public place.
This started back in 2020 and it's changed a lot since then. I mean, like the idea that there is two points, so we'll cover each one of them. I mean, one is the idea that you are taking out the laundry outside. Again, the laundry is dirty and we didn't actually make it dirty. And we need to remember that it always came as one-sided discussion. I mean, like when people are talking about bad things in Israel and they felt like they have the right to do it, it's because they're from the right, but if people from the left, I think that now people understand this is not about right or left, it's about right or wrong. And now when it's about right or wrong, it's a different thing. The other thing is, I think that more and more Jewish Americans understood that. I mean, after they saw what happened with Trump in America, they were in the same situation. I mean, like they were basically trying to solve their problem in-house and everyone in the world saw what's happening in the backyard. So I don't think that that's something that they now understand. It's not a dirty laundry anymore. It's actually part of a bigger crisis that democracies around the world has. So once you understand it's not about left or right, it's about right or wrong, and it's about democracy, that's making it easier. The third part is that, again, I mean, like when we are fighting the fight now is we are fighting against what some people are trying to describe Israel, and we are seeing what Israel is becoming if it goes through and it won't. So when Israel will become a theocracy, a messianic theocracy, anti-Semitism will be rising crazily in America. So this is the fight for the future for our families and Jewish American families and everyone else. I mean, we don't want to be in this situation where the mainstream government is actually, they think it's okay to criticize, to say that it's okay to, like Ben-Gvir said, it's okay for me to drive anywhere as long as my family security is better than the security of the freedom of movement of Arabs in the West Bank. But it wouldn't be just on the West Bank. It will go further along because we see how he's trying to move police to act inside Israel. So that's one. The other thing is about criticizing us. I mean, like, yes, we do hear this feedback, but we hear it less and less. I mean, because it's not anymore an issue of dirty laundry. It's an issue of, well, I mean, like we're Israelis, we have families in Israel, we have business in Israel. We care about so many things around the world that are not Israelis or Jewish. So how come we can stand by and sit around when something, such a bad thing happening in Israel? But more than that, I mean, we see leaders like, earlier, and you haven't heard it, you can probably find it later, Yossi Kleiner-Levy and Matti Friedman and Daniel Gordis, when they are calling out to Jewish American to join us and join and raise their voice. This is a great show of what we are doing because if it's a dirty laundry, someone needs to wash it out. So we are doing the work.
Yeah, and it's important to say, by the way, that neither Matti Friedman or Daniel Gordis or Yossi Kleiner-Levy can be even suspected to be called a leftist or a progressive. So when it comes from them, they actually held a great webinar through the Times of Israel earlier today. We are recording on Monday of September 4th. And that was a strong voice. By the way, along with, we can say, Thomas Friedman, who's also calling American Jews to wake up. So it seems like you are the, in a way, the lightning catcher, if you can call it that, of what is happening now with American Jewry. And it's actually, I can see it as an opportunity for a new dialogue between Israel and America. And when I say America, I'm talking about American Jewry, of course. Do you feel any change in that term when you're in a dialogue with American leaders?
Again, I mean, like, I will just to tell a bit more about myself. I am to blame, probably, as many Jewish Americans will know, that I'm not going to a synagogue. I'm not part of the Jewish life community. I'm part of the Palo Alto JCC community, which, again, gave me the strength to and the leadership and the tools to learn that I need to step up and work because nothing here is coming as a default. So when we look through the Gvanim by the Bay project into the Jewish communities or organizations, and that is part of it is a federation, the JCRC, the synagogues, congregations. I mean, it's obviously enlightening me and others to take actions. So now that we are coming to Jewish American organization, I mean, obviously we're coming with a lot of humility because, again, this is an organization that was built over 100 years. Many of them grew up after the Holocaust. So this is an important part of the Jewish community. And we are coming, and we think that Israeli Americans and Israelis around the world are a great resource, an untapped resource that we call it in the startup world, right? That could actually work together to use this crisis to reborn something new. And when we reach out, again, first of all, there is also always a cautious, like, who are you representing? Are you a J Street or an APAC?
Yeah.
Are you a reform or conservative? Like, so it took us time, right, to build this. It's a brand or it's a notion, right, that we are a big tent and our main focus is Israeli democracy. It's a big tent that actually give voices to everyone, everyone who believes that saving Israeli democracy will diminish the rights of LGBTQ, the rights of women, the rights of Palestinians, will actually get through. Then they have a home with us on the protests in other places. So it took us time. I mean, we actually met, we had a meeting with a congressman in Marin, and he was like organized by the team that was living there in Marin in the Bay Area, North Bay Area of San Francisco. And he said like, wow, I didn't know that there is a third organization that cares about Israel. It's not J Street, it's not APA. It's kind of like a new situation. I think that now post the reasonable doctrine law that was passed back in July, I think it's July 24th. This is a time where I think a lot of Jewish organization and a lot of basically decided to move to the next step. I mean, not everyone likes the idea that we're calling step off the fence, because I think that many cared and they write letters and they write announcements that said that they need to, they hope that President Herzog, through the negotiation that happened back in April and failed in April, will solve the problem. So they took a stand, some kind of a stand, but we saw many more basically moving to the next stage when they found out that the old Bibi is gone. And they have been lied again, like we've been telling for many, many years, that he's even his ally Smotrich called him a liar, son of a liar, I think.
Yeah.
So I think that there is a movement, it's a change. We just saw the JCRC of San Francisco taking a stand and calling the community to write to their congressman to co-sponsor Resolution 61. Yesterday, we saw a tweet by the Jewish Federation in Washington, D.C., posting about the rally next week. Next week, we mean like September 10th, with many other cities that will actually be 2 days before the Bagatz meeting.
Now it's postponed, I think, to the 18th.
It's another discussion. No, Bagatz 12 is staying, but there is a discussion that was supposed to be 2 days from now. It was postponed to the 19th. So there is two, we can go through it. But the idea is that more and more Jewish organizations see the opportunity, join. And it's not an opportunity in the sense of like, no one really asked for this opportunity. It's a crisis, right? It's an existential crisis. And that's where they see not the opportunity, but they see the need to join the effort. Again, either with an unacceptable or directly, it doesn't matter. As long as they are standing together with the Israeli democracy, that's a great step forward.
Can you elaborate some more on Petition 61?
Yes, basically, Congresswoman Jan Schakowsky and another 12 Congress people decided to come up with a concurrent resolution on the Congress that basically stating three parts, and I'll read that. They're basically saying that democracy is at the core of the special relationship between the United States and Israel. Congress opposes action that undermine Israel's future as a Jewish and democratic state, and Congress stands with all Israelis seeking to defend liberal democracy, judicial review, and independent political institution acting as a system of checks and balances. That's basically the three points of this resolution. It started with 12. It's now, I think, close to 50. And again, our goal is to, again, it has no teeth, this resolution. It's a statement. And this statement is super important to make sure it's a bipartisan, it's all democratic people that believe in democracy have no reason not to co-sponsor it. So that's another way for us, because when a lot of Jewish Americans, when they reach out, say like, what can we do, right? So yes, you can go to the protest here. You can actually go to Israel and be part of it. You can donate money. You can write your congressman or woman to actually go and ask this petition, ask this concurrent resolution to be signed. And hopefully Speaker McCarthy will bring it to vote. Again, this will be a very high expectation from that to happen.
But you can never tell. And, you know, you're mentioning donating money and supporting the protest in Israel. So I got to ask you also, do you work, I mean, do you have some sort of connection with the organizers in Israel? Is there any collaboration between the different organizers, like you here and Shikma Bressler or Moshe Radman and all of these guys? Or Achim Laneshek, Brothers in Arms, of course.
So again, I mean, this is, as many of the listeners know or they don't know, this is very fragmented pro-democracy movement, right? I mean, there is no one leader. It's a headquarter in Israel, what you call Mateh HaMaavak. It's actually just a platform to help everyone to get organized, but it's actually has more than 150 organizations that is fighting for something, but work together to save Israeli democracy. So we are in touch with many of them. I mean, we are just building, and I will share with you later, Kobe, a link that kind of like create an ask for a speaker to come to your congregation or to come to your community. So we will try to match those together. People are coming here to raise money. 2 weeks ago, I think there was a big Achim Laneshek, the Brothers and Sisters in Arms, were invited to Seattle and to San Francisco. And we can refer to the article in the art that was talked about that. This was, again, and when those people are coming, they are speakers of all pro-democracy movement, right? So if a brother and sister are coming, they're also representative of Bonot Alternativa, which is
Alternatives. It's a feminine movement.
It's a movement that is saying that we need to, I mean, the first big...
Equality for women.
Equality for women, yeah. Building Alternative, they call themselves. I mean, so when they're coming, they're actually serving the big need of, again, of raising money to support this pro-democracy movement. Again, this pro-democracy movement is actually the largest crowdfunding. I think they raised about, until now, 40 million shekels, mostly from the person on the street by buying T-shirts, by buying other stuff, other swag of the protest movement. And when they are coming here, they are asking us and asking our communities to open their heart and open their wallet, right, into the idea that think about, I mean, and a good friend of mine, Ben Linder, was saying it amazingly, saying like, think about this situation is worse than bombs on Jerusalem. It's worse than Syrian on the fences. It's worse than anything you can imagine as an existential crisis, right? This is a time where everyone needs to step up. We are in touch with the organization in Israel as part of again, Bibi is coming, Prime Minister Netanyahu is coming to New York, as you probably all know, to speak in the United Nations. We will be there. We will coordinate, right? I mean, if someone is coming to talk in a small community, we will coordinate. So we are kind of like the gateway, if you want to call it, or the platform to help the pro-democracy movement in Israel reach out to the communities in the U.S.
We are talking for more than 40 minutes, and I want to be mindful of time. So I want to ask you two more questions. First thing, we know that Prime Minister Netanyahu is planning to come to the UN General Assembly in September, in 2 weeks from now. And there's probably going to be a huge happening here in New York. So first, I want to ask you if you have any message to our audience. And second thing is, well, it's actually the same thing. Just share what you want to say to our audience, to people who care about Israel, want to know more about what's happening. Of course, I will share the link to Unacceptable in the episode description. But if you have anything else that I would love if you'll share. So it's an open mic.
Sure. Prime Minister Netanyahu is going to try and create a photo op. Everything is normal. Everything is okay. Democracy is thriving in Israel. It's just a show of like hundreds of thousands. I mean, today, the chief of police mentioned that there were 7 million Israelis on the streets. 7 million Israelis on the streets over the period of time. And he was proud in the sense of like, this was a non-violent pro-democracy movement. This is 7 million on the streets. Think about the comparison to Americans' numbers. So it's basically on average, and this is over 35 weeks. So like again, average of hundreds of thousands every week. The reality is that we will come to New York to show Prime Minister Netanyahu that no matter where he is going in the world, as long as the democracy in Israel is not safeguarded, he will not be alone. in the sense. So I wouldn't call it a happening. I call it a more type of rage that we have brought, that what Netanyahu and his government. And when I say Netanyahu and his government, I put all the blame on Netanyahu. He put the government in place. He is putting all the cords. So yes, we have Ben-Gurion and we have Smotrich and we have others, but it's on him. And he is the only one who can actually decide to stop this circus. So we will be there and we are calling everyone who cares about Israel, everyone who loves Israel, to join us, standing together for Israeli democracy. Again, as far as we know, we need everyone to be alert. And Kobi, you will share the WhatsApp group and the mailing list of where to get updates. But between September 19th to 21st, this is the days we know Netanyahu will be in New York. And we have put prayer meets all around Manhattan to make sure we are ready to be accepting him, acknowledging him when he's coming. And that point of time, again, I mean, like, we just need to remember what we had led by Shani Granot-Lubaton, in New York, when the Israel parade was there, when we partnered with Amenu. Over thousands of Israelis and Jewish Americans protest together, walked together. We weren't protesting, walked together at the parade. And we wanted to be much bigger. So we are ready. We invite everyone. Doesn't matter if you're Israeli or not Israeli, if you're a foreign conservative, right, left. As long as you think what's happening in Israel is wrong, as long as you believe that Israel should not be a messianic theocracy, come and join us, and Kobi will share the link.
Awesome. Ophir, thank you very much. Best of luck.
To all of us.
Yeah, to all of us, of course. Unacceptable success is success for Israel. So.
Yeah. And thank you, Kobi, for having this show. It's super important to be part of this community and share the information. Thank you.
Of course. Thank you for joining me, and thanks to our audience for listening. Don't forget to share the episode. So if you have more people that care about Israel, want to get involved and learn more, check the episode description so you can read more with the links we're going to share. Thank you.
If you found this episode enlightening or thought-provoking, be sure to subscribe to Balagan on your favorite podcast platform so you never miss an episode. And hey, if you're feeling extra generous, leave me a review. Your feedback means the world to me and helps others to discover the show. Of course, sharing the episode link with others will also be greatly appreciated. Remember, the conversation doesn't have to stop here. Join me on Balagan's Facebook group to continue discussing today's episode and connect with fellow listeners. I would love to hear your thoughts, questions, and suggestions for future topics. You are more than welcome to check my website, www.balaganil.com, for additional resources. I'm committed to connecting you with Israel and providing you with proper context. Until the next time, remember that knowledge is power. Keep learning, keep growing, and continue engaging with Israel. I can't wait to catch you in the next episode of Balagan.